Our Bible reading today is Mark 4, 1 to 34, and it will be read by Rosemary Tremillard. Over to you, Rosemary, for our reading.
Good morning, church family. The reading this morning is taken from Mark chapter 4, verses 1 to 35, the parable of the sower. Again, Jesus began to teach by the lake. The crowd that gathered round him was so large that he got into a boat and sat in it out on the lake, while all the people were along the shore at the water's edge. He taught them many things by parables, and in his teaching said, "Listen, a farmer went out to sow his seed. As he was scattering the seed, some fell along the path, and the birds came and ate it up. Some fell on rocky places, where it did not have much soil. It sprang up quickly because the soil was shallow. But when the sun came up, the plants were scorched and they withered because they had no root. Other seed fell among thorns, which grew up and choked the plants, so they did not bear grain. Still, other seed fell on good soil. It came up, grew and produced a crop, some multiplying 30, some 60, some 100 times. Then Jesus said, "Whoever has ears to hear, let them hear." When he was alone, the 12 and the others around him asked him about the parables. He told them, "The secret of the kingdom of God has been given to you, but to those on the outside, everything is said in parables, so that they may be ever seeing but never perceiving, and ever hearing but never understanding, otherwise they might turn and be forgiven." Then Jesus said to them, "Don't you understand this parable? How then will you understand any parable? The farmer sows the word. Some people are like seed along the path where the word is sown. As soon as they hear it, Satan comes and takes away the word that was sown in them. Others, like seed sown on rocky places, hear the word and at once receive it with joy. But since they have no root, they last only a short time. When trouble or persecution comes because of the word, they quickly fall away. Still others, like seed sown among thorns, hear the word. But the worries of this life, the deceitfulness of wealth, and the desires for other things come in and choke the word, making it unfruitful. Others, like seed sown on good soil, hear the word, accept it, and produce a crop, some 30, some 60, some 100 times what was sown. A lamp on a stand. He said to them, "Do you bring a lamp to put in under a bowl or a bed? Instead, don't you put it on its stand? For whatever is hidden is meant to be disclosed, and whatever is concealed is meant to be brought out into the open. If anyone has ears to hear, let them hear. Consider carefully what you hear," he continued. "With the measure you use, it will be measured to you, and even more. Whosoever has will be given more. Whoever does not have, even what they have will be taken from them." The parable of the growing seed. He also said, "This is what the kingdom of God is like. A man scatters seed on the ground. Night and day, whether he sleeps or gets up, the seed sprouts and grows, though he does not know how. All by itself, the soil produces corn, first the stalk, then the ear, then the full grain in the ear. As soon as the corn is ripe, he puts the sickle to it, because the harvest has come." The parable of the mustard seed. Again, he said, "What shall we say the kingdom of God is like? Or what parable shall we use to describe it? It is like a mustard seed, which is the smallest of all seeds on earth. Yet when planted, it grows and becomes the largest of all garden plants, with such big branches that the birds can perch in its shade." Which, with many similar parables, Jesus spoke the word to them, as much as they could understand. He did not say anything to them without using a parable. But when he was alone with his own disciples, he explained everything. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Thank you, Rosemary, so very much. Father, thank you that you have chosen to make known your mighty deeds. Thank you that we can see them in your word. We pray as we look at these parables that we will see your mighty plans. In Jesus' name, amen. Last week we saw how Jesus encouraged us that we were his fellow workers. Now I wonder how it's felt to be a fellow worker this week. I know we're still in slightly strange days and waiting to hear what the Prime Minister says tomorrow, but God still calls us to be his fellow workers. Now I don't know about you, but I don't always find that easy. The building of the kingdom of God isn't always as simple or as straightforward as one wishes. When I was an accountant and I worked in a factory, I remember one of the ladies had been promoted to run a section. And after a month, she came and talked to me and said, "This being in charge of a section isn't all it's cracked up to be." She had experienced some of the hassles as well as the privileges in that first month. If chapter 3 tells us we're God fellow workers, then chapter 4 tells us the type of ministry we're involved in and the effectiveness of that ministry as well. We live, especially in the last year, in a world dominated by statistics. So we have been told how many vaccines have been given out, how many people per 100,000 have it in each postcode. There are so many statistics running around, and the church in many ways is no different. We've had to provide statistics of how many people come to church, how many people do you think you've kept contact with, etc., etc., etc. And as we look at those statistics, sometimes we think, gosh, what's going to happen to the church? What's it going to be like? We wonder whether Christian faith will be seen even more irrelevant in our land, or will it be seen as a greater force for good? And as we wonder what the future holds for us as individuals and us as a church family, perhaps we wonder whether being God's fellow worker is quite as easy or as good as we thought it was going to be. Perhaps we're worried. Well, don't be. Do not fear, because today God will encourage us by showing us exciting news about his kingdom and how it grows. And just in case you don't always hear this, the Christian church is growing probably faster than it's ever grown before. Maybe not in our country, but certainly throughout the world. It is true to say that the church of God is strong. And if you happen, like me, to get information from churches in Kenya and Uganda and Nigeria, to name just three places, it is so exciting to see what God is doing in building his kingdom. So what do we learn from perhaps parables that you are familiar with, certainly the first one? So the first thing we see is a stupendous growth. And that's really in verses 1 to 20, but we'll concentrate on 13 to 20 at this point. Then Jesus said to them, "Don't you understand this parable? How then will you understand any parable? The farmer sows the word. Some people are like seed along the path where the word is sown. As soon as they hear it, Satan comes and takes away the word that was sown in them. Others, like seed sown on rocky places, hear the word and at once receive it with joy. But since they have no root, they last only a short time. When trouble or persecution comes because of the word, they quickly fall away. Still others, like seed sown among thorns, hear the word, but the worries of this life, the deceitfulness of wealth, and the desires for other things come in and choke the word and make it fruitful. Others, like seed sown on good soil, hear the word, accept it, and produce a crop, some 30, some 60, some 100 times what was sown. Now, the parable is perhaps the most famous of the ones we'll look at today, but the danger for us is we miss what would have shocked the original hearer. They were used to seed being scattered and wasted. That was normal and mundane. They were used to the sower and the seed and different soils. That was common old garden stuff to them. What they were not used to was a yield of 30, 60 or 100 fold. In their day, 15 times would have been seen as an amazing harvest, a gift of God. God, you've been so good in your blessing to us. Hundredfold was unheard of. So what have shocked them about this parable was this, that when the word of God is taught, when God is at work, there will be mind-blowing results. Now, it's important to recognize the reality of what Jesus says. When people hear the word of God, and note that each of the soils hears the word of God, they'll react in different ways. That much is evident, actually, from the reactions we saw last week in chapter 3. The disciples respond, the religious leaders reject, the crowds inquire, Jesus' family want to protect him. And it's evident from our parable that some will make no response at all and Satan will snatch the word away from them. Some will eagerly respond but with no depth of commitment. So when troubles come, they drift away. Some are distracted by the cares and temptations of this world. And actually this year that's been one of the very real challenges for all of us, not to be distracted by the cares of this world. You see, the point is that not all will respond favourably to Jesus and his word. And I have to say that in my ministry, and I'm sure this will be true of you too, you will have seen all those responses. And I think the hardest ones to accept often are those where people seem to start well and then begin to slip away. I can think of a number with actually tears in my eyes, those who I've thought have started the journey of faith so well and have slipped away. And it's not that they've gone to another church family, that's not slipping away necessarily, it's that they've gone away from faith. That slipping away is such a discouragement and a hurt to us. But I can think of many who accept God's word, obey it, and grow to be more and more like Christ. There is a genuine response with mind-blowing consequences. I guess there may be some who go, Anthony, why do we keep on doing Christianity Explained? Well, because we have seen God use that. And I'm hoping that when we can meet together in groups again, we'll have loads of people who've engaged with us in different ways through the radio or online who will be going, do you know that Christianity Explained? I really want to do that. And we'll have to run not one, but two or three or four. But we do it because as we watch people read the word of God for themselves, they are changed. It has been so exciting to see that happen. Now, of course, it's not the only way. I think of one person who I met, just the first time I met them, for a cup of coffee. They said after an hour's talking, well, what's stopping me becoming a Christian now? And I'm thinking, he hasn't done Christianity Explained. But actually, we just sat down and prayed the prayer together. And then he started attending regularly and he came to read in services and then he came to do prayers in services and it was such an encouragement. And then others for whom, I think of a young mum for whom actually coming to faith has meant that they've been able to provide a much more stable family for their family. I think of others who are now in leadership roles in the church, who perhaps came through Christianity Explained or perhaps came through other ways, how God reached into their heart by his word and they have been transformed. And I look and think, wow, this is amazing. I could give you so many names. where I've seen amazing fruit. People who perhaps have battled with things for years, and then God has reached out to them and their lives have been transformed. Now, I'm not at all into the prosperity gospel, a gospel that promises financial success or perfect health or career advancement, but I am into this type of prosperity gospel, where the word of God brings amazing fruit. A gospel that believes that God will give mind-blowing fruit in the lives of Christians, in those who are not yet Christian and are going to come to faith, through God's word when it's heard and accepted and obeyed. At Christ Church St Andrews, may we not look at what we've been through in the last year and a half and lose heart. May we not look at how we'd long that every Sunday our church was full to bursting. May we rather look at God's expectations, God's growth ideals, God's plans and take heart. God will bring, he says, a harvest that is 30, 60, 100 times an extraordinary harvest. He will bring fruit if we continue to preach and share God's word with others. That's our responsibility. But if we do that, we know that lives will be changed. We will, as we have in most years, in fact probably every year, see new Christians, growing Christians, maturing Christians. I wish that I could sometimes allow the whole congregation to look in on a Christianity Explained course and see the joy of seeing people come to faith, to see that as we go in with just two sheets of A3 paper, a list of the names of the group, a few notes for what we'll say, a copy of the first handout, and copies of Mark's Gospel, as we go in with just that, we go in expectant that eternal destinations will be changed, and they are. It is so amazing to see people come on fire for God, Christian marriages restored, emotional issues sought out, attitudes changed. And we have seen that in Christ Church St Andrews. Let's be a church that looks at this parable and expects God to bring stupendous growth. But if that overall theme is clear, there is also a revealing message, verse 10. When he was alone, the 12 and the others around him asked him about the parables. He told them, "The secret of the kingdom of God has been given to you, but to those on the outside, everything is said in parables, so that they may be ever seeing but never perceiving, and ever hearing but never understanding. Otherwise they might turn and be forgiven." Jesus seems to say that he speaks in parables to confuse people, but that is not what we would expect of him. Jesus describes two groups: the insiders, who inquire about the things of God and to whom the secret of the kingdom is given. These people hear parables and their interest is aroused. The outsiders, who do not inquire, and when they hear the parables, they go, "Oh, can't be bothered with this, too difficult." The insiders will hear the brilliant story and see not only the superficial truth, but the deeper meaning. The outsiders will only see the superficial and dig no further. Their rejection of God and his ways will be shown clearly by their response. In fact, as the quote from Isaiah makes clear, this had happened before. But in Isaiah we learn there will always be some who will hear, receive and obey. That's exactly the point of the parable, isn't it? There are the three soils where they don't hear, but there's one where they do. There will be people who hear God's word and are forgiven and accepted. I don't know if you've ever read any of the books of Narnia, but C.S. Lewis wrote them as a Christian parable, with Aslan being the Jesus figure. It's fascinating to me how people who have begun to think about faith and or who have faith read Narnia books and go, oh, that's obvious. Others who aren't in that place just go, what a great story. Jesus spoke in parables not to obscure the truth, but to excite the interest of the interested, to reveal the disinterest of the disinterested. And as we'll see in a moment, he does that still today. How do we know that? Well, because of this second parable, where we hear there is a clear message. Verse 21, he said to them, do you bring in a lamp to put it under a bed or a bowl? Instead, don't you put it on a stand? For what is hidden is meant to be disclosed, and what is concealed is meant to be brought out into the open. If anyone has ears, let them hear. Consider carefully what you hear, he continued. With the measure you use, it will be measured to you, and even more. Whoever has will be given more. Whoever does not have, even what they have will be taken from them. Jesus uses a very simple illustration. Think of a bedside light. Would you hide it under a bed or a bowl? Of course not, because then it'd be useless. Then it wouldn't fulfill its purpose. What we do is let the light shine out. If this is the case, how much more will God not hide the light of the gospel or the truth of the gospel? How much more will he let the light of the word shine out? And Jesus, of course, is the one who does that. Jesus comes to bring the light into the open. Of course, the need for the cross was there in the Old Testament, but it shines out in Jesus. The reality of heaven is there in the Old Testament, but it shines out in Jesus. The truth about judgment is there in the Old Testament, but it shines out in Jesus. Jesus comes to bring everything into the light, into the open. It was clearish in the Old Testament we needed a saviour, but it's crystal clear when Jesus comes. For whatever is hidden is meant to be disclosed, and whatever is concealed is meant to be brought in the open. And of course it means that if we're listening carefully, seeking to understand, we'll be given more understanding. But if we hear but don't listen, even the little understanding we have will fritter away. And isn't that so true? It's actually true on other levels as well. I'm not that brilliant at languages. French at school was a mystery to me. The more I heard, the less I listened. The less I listened, the less I understood. The less I understood, the less I listened. And so my exam results, sadly, I have to admit, reflected my total lack of understanding. God tells us in Jesus, he has made things clear. If we listen and respond and obey, he will help us to understand him and his ways better. And that's what many here would testify to. You know that. You know the world loves to tell us the Christian faith is unclear, but actually Jesus says, no, it's not. It's perfectly clear. I have made it clear in Jesus, says God. Engage with him. Get intrigued by him. Listen carefully to what you hear, and you'll be able to listen and respond and obey. Now, sadly, as the first and second parable make clear, not everybody either listens carefully or lets the light shed on them. But we must not lose track of the fact that God gives stupendous growth. God has revealed a clear message. Thirdly, we see God will bring growth. God will bring growth. Verse 26, he also said, this is what the kingdom of God is like. A man scatters seed on the ground. Night and day, whether he sleeps or gets up, the seed sprouts and grows, though he does not know how. All by itself, the soil produces corn, first the stalk, then the ear, and then the full grain in the ear. As soon as the corn is ripe, he puts the sickle to it, because the harvest has come. Now this parable talks of, and the next one actually talks about the growth of the kingdom, but And in both parables, the seed is the same. We're back to the preaching of the word. And for Mark, growth of the kingdom is closely linked to growth in God's word. Here the point is that we don't know how God's word works exactly. It just does. And we see the result of it. And we also get a picture that it might take time to work because the farmer has to wait for the harvest. But the results are secure. Why? Because God brings the growth. You and I have to take this on board, that as we sow the seed, we don't always see the growth, and we don't always understand how it grows. I think of a family who I had some interaction with, and then for various reasons they ended up in another church, and that was fine, a Bible teaching church, great news. And one of the leaders came and told me that the husband, who wasn't a Christian, had become a Christian. What excitement! Didn't see that growth, but what a joy. There'll be growth that we don't even necessarily see the harvest of. We do not know exactly how God's word works, exactly how the kingdom grows, but we can be sure it does. And we can see the result in our own lives and in the lives of others too. God gives the growth, and isn't that encouraging? In home group this week, we were looking at the feeding of the 5,000, and somebody said, how did he take the 5 loaves and 2 fishes and how did it multiply? And I honestly went, haven't got a clue. Just know because he's God, he could do it. Same point here. How does God bring the growth? We don't know often. We just know he does. A stupendous growth, a clear message, a God-given growth. Finally, a significant kingdom. Verse 30. Again, he said, what shall we say the kingdom of God is like? Or what parable shall we use to describe it? It's like a mustard seed, which is the smallest of all seeds on earth. Yet when planted, it grows and becomes the largest of all garden plants, with such big branches that the birds can pierce it, perch in its shade. A mustard seed starts small, despised, insignificant. The kingdom of God often seems small, despised, insignificant. But in due time, it proves to be great, strong, powerful, and a refuge for the nations. God's word may seem insignificant. God's church may seem insignificant now. God's kingdom may seem insignificant now. But don't be fooled. God is building a kingdom that will last longer than any other, for eternity, that will be bigger than any other has ever been, that will be greater than any other kingdom. For it has the greatest king, Jesus himself. So easy when we look around and think, will church be the same when we come back? What will it be like? Who will be there? It's so easy in a day where we don't know what it looks like, a day that feels like a day of small things, to lose heart. But we should not. In this current setup, when we're online, I can see a little bit of who's watched or who's engaged or what that. It is really tempting to look at that and go, what, only that many? No. God grows his kingdom from a little mustard seed to a great bush. God is working by his word to bring stupendous growth, to build his kingdom. We have a clear message. We have a God who brings growth. Are we tempted to lose heart? Then don't. Look at what these parables tell us. Jesus faced disappointments in his ministry too. The apostles saw the crowd follow but turn away from Jesus. The religious leaders plot to kill him. Jesus' family planning to remove him. And this is before they get to the crowd shouting, crucify him. But Jesus reminds them and us that God works in amazing ways. He brings growth that is stupendous. And because he brings the growth, it's secure. He's given us a clear message and reminded us that his kingdom is the biggest there will ever be. We are privileged to be fellow workers with Christ. Are you in for kingdom building? I am. And that's what God wants us to be in for. Not our own kingdom, but Jesus' kingdom. Have you got a vision for that? A heart for it? An excitement in looking around and praying, "Thy kingdom come, God," and looking around to see how he does amazing things. Today we're going to respond to God's word in a slightly different way. We're going to have a meditation. It will give us an opportunity to reflect on what God has been saying to us. So please reflect as Denise plays and I say a few words to guide our thinking. So as we reflect on all that God has said to us, the growth that he wants to bring, let's pray that we would see that growth in ourselves, in our church family, and in people coming to faith in our town. Will have family and friends who perhaps we've shared the good news of Jesus with and it seems to bounce off, or they've started well and then things have stopped them seeming to follow Jesus. Let's pray that God would make them, help them to be good soil, that we would see them come to a faith in Jesus or come back to him. Seen that it is God who gives the growth. And so let's pray that as individuals and as a church family, we would have that vision to believe that as we spread the word, God will bring growth. Growth in us, growth in our church family, growth in people in our town coming to faith in the Lord Jesus. Let's pray for an expectation and a vision that God will do amazing things, bringing a harvest in these days and months and years. God, we thank you that you are the one who brings growth, a harvest. And so, Father, we pray that you, by your Spirit, would give us that sense of expectation that you will do amazing things in and through us as individuals and us as a church family. May we see your word bear fruit in lives transformed, eternal destinies changed, and your people becoming more and more like Jesus. In his precious name, Amen.